that. I didn't realize I did. But I had a lot of fun. But I've always had a lot of fun with Andy. Had he been here tonight, I wouldn't have had much time to speak. Andy was he was at Ezel Harding back in the day, and he helped me coach the year we won. We won quite a few championships. We won one state championship, and Andy was with us then, and he helped us coach and all. And but that was also back when you were buying cell phones and you were doing them by the minutes, you know, so many minutes. And if Andy would call one of us, we wouldn't answer it. Because, you know, yeah, there goes your whole minute plan. But Andy's a very dear friend. I have Kay Smith here who coached with me at Ezel. I coached with her, actually. And Mike Sturm's here. He's coached with me a couple of different places. He coached our AU team at Ezel and coached with me at Good Pasture. And Janet's here and taught with us for years at Ezel. And it's just so good to be with you. I'm not going to talk about that when the incident happened, because I've been doing that all the time this summer. I've had a lot of opportunities to go to churches and to tell them about that day. And I thought I've already told you. And so I hope that you didn't come to hear that. When I talked to Andy, he said just another lesson would be great, whatever I want to speak on. So when you're speaking to a group where you don't really know their spiritual needs, I'm not sure where you are in your life and your walk with God, and what can I say to encourage you, to teach you, to maybe rebuke you kindly in something you're doing in your life that you shouldn't be doing. It's hard to know when you're coming as a guest speaker. And so you a lot of times will fall back on an old reliable sermon, you know. And that's what I did this time. This is one of my very favorite lessons. But one of the reasons, I was trying to figure out how many times I've preached this in all my years, I can't come up with how many times, but I can tell you this. Every time I preach it, it convicts me. Now, I don't know what it's going to do with you, but every time I do this lesson, it makes me think. We live in a world where a lot of stuff happens to us, and we're challenged regularly on our spirituality, on our faith, on our relationship with God. I mean, it's just a regular challenge. Coach McPherson, who's at Nashville Christian, he's going through, his wife has ALS and things real bad with her right now. And Mike and I was talking at the end of the school, and my son just had a car wreck in April and had to amputate part of his leg. And so that's been real hard on us. And Mike and I was talking, we said, you know, you have the mentality. We sort of grew up in youth ministry and teaching and at Christian schools and coaching together, and we fired each other's youth groups up, and you know, that way. And I told Mike, I said, you know, you think that you're going to live your life, and at the end, when you die, you're going to be a warrior up there swinging your sword. You're going to be a fighter to the end. And the longer you live, you feel like you're not so much of a fighter as just trying to survive. Does that make sense? Just when you're younger, man, it's here we go. But as you get older, it's just trying to get there sometimes. And I don't know if it has, I guess it has to do with age and with strength that we have and energies that we have, but also with all the stuff that's piled on us in this life. Life's tough. I mean, life's tough. And things happen, and things are going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next week, and they're going to happen. Now, God will supply us with all that we need to handle those things, but we're still going to have to handle them. He's not going to take all those things away from our lives and us skip to the end, through judgment right on into heaven. It's not going to happen that way. And to walk with Christ and to walk in the light as He is in the light is to have fellowship with one another, 1 John says. And but if I'm not walking in the light as He is in the light, then that fellowship, I'm not in fellowship. And I want to talk to you about that, but about us, how your walk is. But I want to do it under this heading. I'm going to come back to it at the end. We are saved by grace. And thank God. If it was on merits, there are times when you could be asked by someone, would you want to be judged on how you're living your life? You say, yeah, I'm okay with that. But there are other times where, you know, thank God we're saved by grace. Won't take you on a journey. It's an unusual trip, and it will only be as good as you do your part. I'm going to do the best job I can do. I'm going to put everything I've got into this, and I'm going to present it with all the umph that I have to present it with. But it will only be as good as you, the traveler with me on this journey. I'm going to serve as your guide. I'm going to take you through something. And if you'll go with me, I promise you this trip will be beneficial to you. You'll come out on the other end with the opportunity to be better when you leave here than we were when we came in. You have that opportunity. Now, you also have the opportunity not to. To just leave the same way you came in. And maybe you're fine right now with your relationship with God, but maybe you're not. And you don't have to listen tonight, but being Wednesday night, surely you would, or you'd be home watching TV, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I mean, seriously? So I don't think I'm going to have to fight for your attention, but if you'll go with me through this thing, it's going to be an unusual trip. Jesus in His lessons would take people on journeys. And He even took us with the rich man Lazarus across the line that separates life and death. And He took us to the other side of that line. And He was teaching lessons on that. He took us down a long road that the prodigal son went down. And He taught us all the way through till that son came back home. A new person. A new understanding. A new realization of what he was supposed to be. And a humbled man. And Jesus could, boy, what a teacher. He could take anything and teach a lesson out of it. Tonight I want to take you on a journey. And I want you, if you will, to visualize a building like the Parthenon. And I use the Parthenon because most everybody has seen the Parthenon. So that beautiful building with columns and high steps around it. And I want you as a group to come, and I'll just meet you there. And as you're walking up the big wide sidewalks that go up to the Parthenon and huge doors at the Parthenon, I step out from behind the column, and you're down below. Now, it's not the Parthenon. It's just a building something like the Parthenon. And I tell you, I'm going to serve as your guide, and I'm going to take you on a journey of your life. Not your husband's, not your wife's, not the person sitting around you. But if you'll do this right, it'll be your life that you're going to see. There'll be things in here that'll make you proud. There'll be things in here that you'll struggle with dealing with and with handling. I want you to come with me, and I want to show you what your life is like in this journey tonight. And so we start up the steps, and we head toward the big doors, and we push open the doors, and we step into the hallway. And you've done this before. When you walk into an empty hallway, you can hear the footsteps and the hollow echoing sound that goes through everyone talking, and it's loud. And we go in, and we go up toward the first door, and we get near that door. And I stop you, and I have to get everyone quiet. And just everybody be quiet just a second. I want to explain to you what we're getting ready to do. You'll see above each one of these rooms down this hallway is a little plaque and a word that goes up above the room. And it will describe to us what that room is about in your life. And if you look at this first one, and everyone looks up and you see that this first room is called the Word Room. And this scripture is written beside it. But I say to you that for every idle word that man may speak, that they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And I tell you, this is the word room. And an amazing thing is going to happen as you walk in. And we push the door open, and we sort of are hustling or hurrying everyone up along because we want to see what this journey is about. Is it going to be like what I say? And we go into the room, and I stop you when we get in. I say, now, what you're going to see in this room are all the conversations you've ever had with people and about people. These are going to be the words that come out of your mouth. These would be the jokes you tell when you're at work, when you're with your friends. These will be the discussions that you have. These will be the ball games where you talk about the ball games you've seen. And this will be the gossip sessions that you may have had about someone. This will be the time in which you may be singing praises to God and talking to someone about Christ. These are all those times that you've talked with or about people. And they come before you now, all the different conversations. I remind you of these scriptures as we go through this. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let unwholesome talk come out from your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up." Paul told him, said, "You got to be careful what you say, because you know we can tear down people." Now, you may never have done that, but a lot of people have. And Paul warned the Ephesian brethren. Paul warned the Colossians. He said, rid yourself of all filthy language from your lips. Colossians 3:8. James, where he talked about the tongue, what a dangerous instrument it is. He makes his statement. He says, with it we bless our God, our Father, and with it we curse man. He says, it shouldn't be like this. Out of the same mouth comes blessings and cursings. He said, brethren, these things ought not so to be. Inside this room are those times in which you've talked to people. You ever heard the phrase, and older ones in here have, so you might not want to say you know it, loose lips sink. Okay, there was the old people. Did you see them? Loose lips sink ships. I'm told that's from World War II time period, and that it was talking about you don't start talking about the things our Navy's doing because word gets out and can get to the enemy and then things happen. But man, within the church, loose lips sink a lot of ships. Now you wouldn't think we would talk about each other behind each other's back, but it happens. You wouldn't think that we would talk about someone even outside of the church in a bad, negative way. But it happens. If I were to tell you this, here's just an illustration. If I were to tell you to prove this point, I got with Andy and we placed a tape recorder around you this past week. And we taped all the conversations you had about people. And all those people are going to be here tonight to hear what you had to say about them. How would you feel? Would it be all right with you if I play that where everyone can hear what you said about them? And I thought about that. There would be three responses that would go through my mind. Sure, you can play that. Anything I say about someone, I say to them. But I don't think there's a lot of those people, to be honest with you. But sure, play it. Then I think it's those who will say, you better not play it, I'll sue you. And not in the church. Oh, yeah, I believe. You better not play that. That was a private conversation, and you had no right, and man, they'd be mad about it. Not so much mad about the fact what they were doing, but just that you taped it. And then I think most of us would go like this. Well, I think it's going to be okay, Mike. You're going to be able to play this. I think it's going to be all right. But let's go back here first and just listen. You know, this may have not been a good week to have done that. And you might not want to do that. But you know, when you hear the words, all of our idle words, the scripture says that we're going to have to give an account of. We're going to stand before Christ and have to give an account of our words. How would you feel about that? I know some good friends I've had in times past say, well, you know, I don't cuss unless. Well, you know, you need to get past that unless thing. You just need to get past it. Well, I've tried. I just can't. Well, you better. You better try a little more. Well, I don't gossip about people usually. Well, you need to get on past that. We need to get to the point to where we don't gossip, period, about one another. And like I say, I don't really know how you are on this. But maybe there's some of you in here who say, Joey, this room doesn't bother me. Honestly, it doesn't. I'm not being, you know, self-righteous. I'm just telling you, I don't think I do that much. That's not one of my weaknesses. I've got weaknesses, but gossip and talking about people and saying things and jokes and things that I shouldn't say, that's not one of my weaknesses. Well, you know, if that's the case for you, well, God bless you. I think you're few in number. As I look over the crowd as we're getting ready to leave, I see some people looking around and their minds now are still on the things which you've seen. Could that have really been me talking about them? Do I really sound that hateful? I didn't mean to be hateful. I didn't mean to be mean. I didn't mean to hurt them. Well, I work in schools with kids who hurt each other all the time. And man, I mean hurt each other to the point where some want to kill themselves, feel worthless because of words. How are your words? If I gave you the chance, would you need right now to bow your heads and ask God forgiveness? Oh, I got some more rooms, though. Got some more rooms. So I take you out, and we walk down the hall. It's not as noisy as it was. You know, it's a little quieter now. Our thoughts are back in that room that we just came from. Those people that we talked about, that we really care for. And we go on down and we go to the next room and I stop you. You're not as eager this time, it doesn't feel like. And I tell you, this is the book room. Above this one is the scripture in 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I tell you, inside this room are going to be all the times in which you've put into the study of God's word. And in fact, the study of anything. You know, Peter told the brethren he was writing to be ready always to give an answer for the hope that lies within them. Be ready always to give an answer. We go into this room and you come in and it's not pushing anymore. It's a little more leery. You walk inside that room and I tell you that inside this room are all the book reading materials, whether hardback or whether on the computer nowadays. But all the reading material you ever read, I mean all of it, the newspaper, see, that there used to be a newspaper that we all read, and the computer articles, the Sports Illustrated, all the, and Playboy magazines and stuff like that. Now, when I talk to teenagers, I deal a little more with the pornography part. But you know, it's not a teenage problem. Do you know that? It's a person problem. When you got to be 20, all your lustful thoughts left you, didn't they? No. We had an elder and his wife who were old at our church when I was a teenager growing up. And they always look the same age. You know that, what I'm talking about? You're growing. You've been there 6 years. They haven't changed a lick because they were always old. But I remember looking at them one time and thinking how lucky they are. And I really thought this. They're not tempted anymore. They don't have to fight this. Man, how wrong I was. The temptations seem like they just come even more and more. Maybe Satan doubling down the nearer we get to that finish line. Maybe he's trying harder like he did with Christ. He's trying his best to weaken us, to cause us to fall. So every reading material you look at, And the Bible time, I mean the time which you study your Bible, the times you look at Bible religious magazines and all those, it's in here too. And you see, all of these times in which we've put our time into studying something, how is it that we don't know more of the Bible than we know? I mean, good night. You've been going to church how long? I've been going to church how long? Been Sunday school classes, how many? I had my students one time figure out how many hours you've spent in Sunday school and in Bible classes, and it was unbelievable because every week, every day, they're in Bible classes, and it's just unreal. How is it we don't know more Bible than we do? A friend of mine came when Peg and I just got married. Friend from college came over, and I didn't know what he was doing there. He just wanted to see us, you know. We just got married, and he came in. Well, he was an insurance salesman now. And he read where we got married, and he's here to sell insurance. We get talking, and I get talking to him about something along the lines of sharing our faith with people. And he said, and it wasn't bad on him. He was a good guy. And he said, you know, it's a shame that I know more about the insurance business than I do about God's Word. And it is a shame that all of us can fall into there somewhere. We have some people within a church who just know the Bible. Oh, I wished I had their knowledge. Well, what, they wake up with it? You know, that they've studied. My dad studied. Well, he could tell me where any scripture was. And he was my concordance when I was growing up. But he always, I can see now the commentaries on the dining room table and the Bible and the study, the hours he put in. Why, how much do you know? I wouldn't do what I'm getting ready to say to you because it would just be terribly rude. And I wouldn't hurt anyone for the world. But what if I took the Bible, here's one, and I walked out among the audience. I'm not going to, but I walked out and I said, I need someone to show me where I need to repent of my sins. And I, looking around, well, you know, when you don't know, you just don't make eye contact, you know. And there'd be some, you know, I got that one. Of course, being a teacher, I wouldn't give it to them. I'd find the one who wasn't looking at me. And drive a point home. How many in here could tell me where the baptism verses are? Well, I don't know where they are, but I can call Brother Neil, and he can tell me. Well, yeah, he could. Now, I'll tell you this. As a minister, I've made a bundle of calls to other ministers. A bundle of calls. If I didn't know the answer to something, I got to find the answer. Not because I'm religious, because they're going to ask me Sunday. You know what I'm talking about. I got to know this answer. And I call people up. And then on Sunday, they ask you that question. You say, well, here's what it is. And you act like you've known it your whole life. Man, I sat in Bible class. We didn't have our teens that night. So I went up and I was a youth minister, and I sat back in the back. And the teacher's teaching the class, a huge auditorium. And he came across this particular story, and there's this word in there. And I read it on the head as he... And I said, what does that mean? And I ran the references, and some of you do that, run references. And I read about it. Yeah, okay, yeah, I never knew that. Turned back, and he said, here's this reference, look at this. And I'm looking at him. He said, Joey, tell us what that means. I said, well, Jimmy. And I told him what it meant. And everybody said, wow. Well, no, that was just the Holy Spirit saying, you better look that up. He's coming after you. But you know, the truth is, we should know more of our Bible. We don't study it enough. I'm not trying to make us feel guilty. How much do you study? And they say the brain is like a sponge. You probably have heard this. Most of us have proven this wrong when we were kids in school. But they say you never forget anything you learn. The other night, my son and I was talking about something. I forget what it was, and I couldn't remember the name of that guy. And about 15 minutes later, Bobby Decker. And it just came out of nothing. He said, what? I said, name was Bobby Decker. Yeah. And your brain, you've gone on and your brain is still skimming through stuff. And boom, it may come out 4 days later. You're driving down the road, Bobby Decker. Yeah. And you've done that. They say we don't forget stuff we learn. Why is it we don't know more? If I were to ask you, how much time did you spend studying the Bible last week? Now, to get you to really, I don't know how much time I spent. Well, the person who can do this with me is going to win a brand new Cadillac. That will maybe give you some incentive. How much did you study last week? Just ballpark. And we could, okay. All right. Since school was out, starting in June and July, how much have you studied June and July? Well, how about, can you do it all the way back to January to get the car? Can you sit down, give some time to this, and figure out how much? And you know, you can go back as far as you want, and if I make that prize enough, we'll figure it out. How proud are you of that? The time, and I don't mean to make you feel guilty. I mean to open your eyes. And maybe no one in here is bad in this room. Maybe again, like the other room, you could say, I'm not ashamed of this. I read the sports magazines. I read those other things. But I study my Bible too. There's nothing wrong with reading the other things. I'm not talking about the Playboys now. But the other stuff, there's nothing wrong. I'm not ashamed of the thing that, and maybe you could do that. And I hope you can. But if not, what do you want to do about that? We have to go. Boy, my time, it's really going fast. Andy told me the clock would be right in front of me, and I understand with Andy why you do that. But he also told me he doesn't really pay attention to it. That's right. But I got to hurry. The next room is the gospel room. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation. Not ashamed of that gospel. I'll share it with anyone. As we go inside that room, you're going to see all the times you ever were at church, the building, whatever, the VBS times, the working for the VBS, getting ready for the VBS, the gospel meetings, any time at church where it was time for the saints to gather, you were there. And inside this room, you're going to see how faithful your attendance has been. And you'll see that, and you look, and as you come inside, you begin to look around, and you find your pew. Now, do y'all have your own pews here at this church? Huh? Be honest. Yeah. Most churches have that. And if a visitor sits in your pew, I always said, man, that'd be horrible if somebody... We had one lady who went up to him and told him, that's our seat. Wow. Man, I should have gotten to them before and told them, hey, that's their seat. You don't want to, you need to move. Man, you look inside this room this particular time, some of you can look and there you are. But as you look on around at other times, you see your seat and your place where you should have been, you're not. And I'm not talking about when you were sick. I'm not talking about when, you know, there were reasons. I'm talking about when you just chose not to. Inside this room are all those opportunities. Man, it's hard to get the lost in here when you can't even get the saved in here. You know it? And it's getting harder. It's getting harder. A lot of churches are even quitting the night services. And I don't think they're required. I mean, I really don't. That's not in there. But, you know, as long as we do them, I'm going to do them. And how can we get the lost here if we can't get the saved here? And it is something that we all need to think about. Now, I know I'm probably preaching to the wrong crowd. The Wednesday nighters are the, you know, you have nothing going on in your life, evidently. You're right here worshiping. I'm not your judge. I'm not going to pass judgment on you. If you don't go on Wednesday night, I don't think that sends you to hell. I don't. I'm not your judge. I'm just the guide. I'm not here to condemn you, but I can't justify your actions in all these rooms either. I have other rooms. I'm just out of time. Let me tell you just some of the titles of these other rooms. The obedience room, when you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was preached unto you, Romans 6:17. When you became a Christian, and most of us can tell the story of when we became a Christian. We can even tell the temperature of the water. It was cold. It was warm. We can tell the location. How many were baptized in a lake or a river? Just raise your hand. Now, some people think they're the only real baptized ones because Jesus was baptized in a river. But how many were baptized in a baptistry? Okay, the majority here. How many were baptized on Sunday? Wednesday? How do y'all remember this? It's important. I can tell you about my wedding day. I can tell you about the nerves I had. I can tell you about the conversation. I can tell you about my wedding day. I can tell you about my baptism. It's that important. And the person who says, well, Coach Ben, I don't remember when I was baptized, tells me pretty much immediately that they probably baptized as a child, a little child, and they just don't remember. Inside that obedience room, so many things. This other promise room. When you vow, the Ecclesiastes says, when you vow a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. Better it is that thou vowest not than thou vow and not pay. I'm sorry, King James is the only way I have it memorized. But it was hard back in the day to memorize that one. But, you know, don't promise to God something you're not going to do. And yet probably every one of us have at some time or another when something was, our backs were up against a wall. Oh, God, if you'll help me get out of this. Oh, God, if you'll do this, I'll do. And we've made promises to God. And I just ask you, if we had time to go in that room, how are you on your promises with God? Are you a person of your word with Him? The commitment room. Deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. How well are you in the commitment room? I got this other room about time. How do you spend your time? The scripture says redeem our time. Redeem your time. You only have so much time. How do you use your time? If we were to make a pie of your time, what would be given to sports and would be given to work and be given to play and be given to... See, I lost that finger, Scott. Did you know that? They shot that finger off at church. And I started right then to give quotes. And I stopped because I can't do quotes anymore with this hand. I started to quote it, you know, boy. Church stuff. Almost did it again. Church stuff. How's your pie divided? And we could talk about that. But time's up. Anyone in here sinless? I mean, even lately. I'm not talking about, I sinned back. Kids ask me, you ever wrong, Coach Ben? I say, yeah. 1984, I think it was. Well, you know, my last sin wasn't in 84. We could go back to the beginning of this week probably with everybody in here and say, do you see what I'm talking about our lives? In a little while, in just a few minutes, I'll be extending an invitation. And I'll close this whole thing down. But I want you to see this. If we were going to be judged on these rooms, what chance do we have? Well, it's just by grace. Just by grace. I can find a room that you're not good in. And you can find rooms I'm not good in. And I'm not okay with that. And that doesn't mean, oh, that's just me. And I'm going to change. And I'm going to repent when I see where I'm wrong. But we're saved by grace. And thank God by grace. So what do we do with all these rooms? Just forget about? No. I check myself to see whether I'm in the faith, Paul told the Corinthian brethren to do. Are you doing that book room right? Are you doing the attendance room right? Are you doing those things right? No, I'm not, but I'm saved by grace. Well, if you know you're not right, then you have to get right. Or else you're making a mockery of the grace. And then you'll stand before God being judged like that. Let's have a prayer together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this night. And God, thank you for this great crowd. Thank you for their attendance and their eagerness to listen, Father. And just every one of us in here, Lord, we just need to do better. And I know it's not to earn heaven. But dear God, it's just to be the best person we can be for you. It's so we can glorify you. It's so we can walk in fellowship with you. I know we're saved by grace, Lord. But help us to repent when we sin and to straighten our lives up, Father, to reach out to those who are watching us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.